on the phone today is my good friend Derek Anderson, ScreamingReels.net, and I'm looking at your new website, buddy. Pretty impressive. Pretty nice. I you've done a great job on this. How do you like it so far? There we go. Derek.
Yep.
There he is. Okay. Derek Anderson, ScreamingReels.net. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, obviously, technically, we're struggling today, but, you know, other than that, we can't complain.
Right. No, we've been working hard on the website and got it up and running and had a lot of good positive feedback, and it's going real well. You know, ScreamingReels.net and .com both. We own both domains, and it's coming along good. You know, it's going great. It's a good time to redo all that stuff while these streams in Puget Sound here are closed now and doing a little bit of drift boat fishing and heading to the peninsula this week. You know, we've got this awesome sunshine, and there's really nothing better to be than on the upper Hoh when the water's coming in and those big wild fish are coming back. And I've got a select group of clients that love to go catch and release on the upper Hoh and throw yarn balls for them. It's a good time.
Well, it's no surprise, and the bright spot of this steelhead season has been the coast. And while there's, you know, the Grays Harbor rivers and the Cowlitz has had its moments as well, boy, those peninsula streams have just been cranking all season long.
Yeah, and it's just going to get better from here on out, you know. And other opportunities that are a little bit closer, you know, you got the Wynoochee and the Sats up, and I've been fishing the Wynoochee quite a bit actually lately, and it's been getting better and better. And I heard that you said the same thing yesterday, that the Sats started fishing real good yesterday, and the Nooch dropped a foot in the last day, so it's going to fish good. And you know, so we got some opportunities out there and fun opportunities. You know, drift boat fishing, a lot of people associate it with just sitting in there pulling plugs, and that's not what I do. You know, we're out. I've got the short rods fishing, and we're casting at stumps and log jams and rock piles and throwing those yarn balls. And it's a lot of active fishing. It's a good time. It's a two-person trip, and it's a lot of fun, and it'll carry me through February. And then we'll be back on the Cowlitz in March and April for those big hatchery wild steelhead, hatchery steelhead that are anywhere from 10 to 18 pounds and good numbers of hatchery fish so people can take fish home every day.
Good morning, Derek. Hey, I know that you fished the Cowlitz earlier this year, and I don't know how much time you spent on the Sky, but how would you characterize this year's steelhead season compared to, like, the last two or three? Has this been better, worse, average? What do you think it's been for a steelhead season so far?
On the Sky Comish particularly?
Yeah.
It's slow. You know, I just find myself, I live right here. I mean, it's 10 minutes from my house, and the winter fishery is just really declined. I spend more time on the Snoqualmie anymore than I do on the Sky, unfortunately. The year before last, I had a great season as far as great goes, you know, 3 to 5 fish a day, which, you know, that's pretty decent for a local stream close to home. But it's kind of been dwindling down and down each year. I just find myself traveling more to keep those numbers of fish up for my people.
And that's what it is for a guy these days. I mean, you got to bounce river systems, and now you've done more out of the drift boat just these past couple years, particularly this year, Derek, than you have in years past. And those are very enjoyable trips because, like you said, out of the sled, you know, you employ some back trolling techniques. You free drift quite a bit, but when you're going down a drift boat, you're kind of doing the whitewater and drift thing. You got to pitch pockets in a little bit. You've got to instruct your anglers on where to cast, and they've got it really is more dependent on the angler themselves to get the gear in the right place and make that correct presentation. Tell us a little bit about that, the flavor and character of a drift boat trip with you, Derek.
That's exactly what it is. The guys that can actually put them to where I ask to put them do a lot better. You know, with drift boat fishing, I've gone to the shorter rods of the 9000s with the Loomis, and it's a little more easier for the clients to handle those shorter rods, and boat posts are a blast when you get a fish on. I mean, the rod's bent at the cork, and it's a great time. But
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think this is a point that needs a little bit of illuminating, and that is the fact that that with the longer rods and the longer leaders, you aren't so accuracy enabled or accuracy minded. Okay, so we're talking about the difference between free drifting, okay, where you're fishing, you're combing large banks out of the sled, and the concept of pitching pockets. So shorter rods, shorter leaders, tightens up your target area because those runs that you're trying to hook those fish, they're more well defined. Am I tracking along with what your with your techniques are, Derek?
You're right on, spot on. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. The last couple of years, I've kind of just kind of gone back to the basics from when we started steelhead fishing. You know, everybody's got that 6 foot or 5.5 foot leader program, and you know, a yarn ball, I'll fish 18 to 20 inch leader, and it hasn't hurt my catches one bit. You know, it's done nothing but bring it up as far as the accuracy goes, because when you fish and you pitch it into where it's supposed to be, it's right there. It's not going to drift 3 feet off. It's going to hit them right on the nose where they're supposed to be. It's a lot of fun. It's I'll have guys sometimes fishing each side of the boat. You know, you can put a guy in front of the boat and one in front and one in the back, or you can put both of them up front. You know, have a guy cast left at rock pile in the middle of the river, have a guy cast at the stump seam on the other side, or both in the same seam. We're doing a lot of downstream casting, which is really, for all my regulars that have free drifted with me in the sled for a lot of years, that's just a no-no. But it's really cool. They're starting to get the hang of it, and it's different, you know, and it's fun, and it's quiet and enjoyable. And when you hook up, it's a blast, you know. You row over the side and get out and net the fish, and it's a really cool experience, and it's a real nice break for me, you know, after fishing a sled for 9 months a year. And, you know, you climb in a drift boat, and it's a lot of fun. It's a good time. It's a good way to spend, you know, these last winter months and before the big March hatchery steelhead run on the Cowlitz.
Derek, you said you've been on the Wainuchi lately. What's the drill been like there? Is the water conditions, what kind of crowd we having? And then also, you know, we're hearing a little rumor there might be a little reg change coming down there. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I talked to the biologist, actually a biologist out of Puyallup. He's been putting some trips together with me this year for Fish and Wildlife to go and experience different fisheries and get our views of the fisheries and what kind of shape they're in. It's hearsay right now, but they've had a few issues with a couple of the tribes not reporting their catches as their netting goes on, and so they're talking about trying to do an emergency closure on the Chehalis system. I've called some other guides. They've kind of heard the same thing going on. We should hear something next week. It's not that the fish aren't there. The fish are there. I mean, I bet you today fish is great down there. I mean, it's dropped really good. The fish hit the sats up real good yesterday. I'm sure they're in the nooch as well. When that water was high and muddy, they can't net like that, so it allows a lot of the fish to come through. So that's kind of the rumor.
If you don't have harvest numbers, you can't manage a fishery, and that's what WDFW is up against now. And then to that equation, you add these Puget Sound closures, and so anybody that wants to go fishing, that's one of the first stops. So you got the double-edged sword. You don't know what the co-managers are harvesting. You have more pressure on that particular stream. Kind of an explosive situation.